Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome into another edition of the Players Lounge, sponsored by Heels for Life. Of course, North Carolina football's collective taking care of North Carolina athletes, both in the community and across Chapel Hill. Taylor Viplis has joined me for this one, and we've got a special guest today, Mr. Amari Gaynor. Amari, how you doing, man?
Doing great. Feeling blessed. You know, just got done with workout, so I'm feeling great.
I'll tell you what, man, you look good. For people who are listening to this, I would tune into the YouTube, because I got to tell you, you look good.
Appreciate it, my guy.
Keenan Stadium behind you looks good.
Yes, sir. And then we got, you know, the barber got us right. We got a barbershop in there, so we got the fresh cut on the day.
What was that process like coming to Chapel Hill and having to find a new barber? That could be tough sometimes.
Yeah, it was pretty tough a little bit, but a lot of the guys kind of had a barber in Durham. So I used to go to Durham, but once we opened up the Players Lounge and got the barbershop right there in the Players Lounge, it's been pretty effective being able to go right there and get a cut, and it's been great.
I played from 2013 to 2015. I've seen the new Player Lounge. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. And it's still in the works, too, because once the basketball court gets there, it's just going to be electric.
So, all right. So let me ask the first question. Who's going to dominate on the basketball court when it opens up?
We probably won't be doing too much because, you know, we're getting ready for season. So we probably be shooting around. But my boy Tez Walker, he's a great athlete and football, or basketball player too. So I think he can burn it out and shoot, and we'll probably be shooting around a little bit.
So your top five, if you had to pick your top five to go, or four guys to go with you on the basketball court, and you can play some intramural ball like North Carolina and dominate there, who your other four with you?
That's a hard question. So other four. So we got you got me as a big man. I'm just getting rebounds. I'm not doing too much shooting. But I have Tez. I have Tez out there. I heard Drake can shoot a little bit, so probably Drake out there shooting. Maybe Big Trav out there to box somebody out.
I heard Corey Gaynor's. I heard Corey Gaynor's out there some, and he can play. And Diego Pounds thinks he can play.
Everybody think they can play.
I was just gonna say that from my time in the locker room, there isn't a person in that locker room that doesn't think that they could play for Hubert Davis right now.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a baseball guy, so I'm not really big on the basketball court. I'll shoot around, but you know.
That's funny. Look, let's get into it. And of course, Heels for Life takes care of you guys, and appreciate them setting these up. Taylor and I, we've done Drake May, Caleb Hood, Cayman Rucker. And so you're the fourth one. So I kind of want to start out the same way, and we'll kind of talking before we didn't get before we got started. Tallahassee, born and raised, Childs High there. You know, a lot of guys, Caleb Hood was a legacy North Carolina guy. He was always going to go to North Carolina. Drake May the same way. Was it always Florida State for you when you were growing up, getting ready? Would your parents play in there? You've got siblings that play sports as well. But was Florida State it when it came down to it?
Yeah, kind of just going through the process, you know, with my dad playing there, my mom going to school there, just having a bloodline to Florida State. If I was going to school in Florida, it was no other option. So, I mean, it was craziness. And the recruiting in 2018, it was craziness with coaches kind of flip-flopping everywhere. But the best advice I got was to go to a school that, you know, that you're comfortable with, and regardless of the coaches, that you can see yourself playing or going there without, if you were playing football or not. So that was kind of a deciding factor in going there and also coming here, because I mean, it's a great university, great campus, so I can see myself coming here even if I wasn't playing football. So that was kind of one of my deciding factors in going there, and also deciding to come here out of the portal.
You mentioned the advice. How much did it help to have a dad growing up that had been to where you were trying to get to?
It helps a lot, you know. Just growing up, just, you know, he pushing me to be the best I can be, and just pushing me to be better. I mean, he was getting up at the car dealership, and he would tell me, like, I mean, you know, you want to work, so you don't have to be on anybody's time. You can, you know, get up when you want to get up. So it was great for me to have that experience and have my father figure, and also my mom, you know, pushing me. I think my mom was honestly harder on me than my dad, because I mean, she was brutal. I mean, she was taking us to travel ball games, taking us to football games, and she does not like wasting money or wasting time. So if you're going to be out there, you're going to be performing and performing at the highest ability. So, I mean, it was great to have great parents like that, able to push me, and also great siblings to allow me to get them better and also for them to get me better. I was going 2-1 against my little brother. He plays baseball at North Florida Christian and football over there. And my sister plays softball at FAMU. So being able to play against them and grow up against them, and having great competitors around me, it's just been a great atmosphere growing up, and also now.
When you talk about baseball, and you said you were a baseball guy, how'd you decide? When did you decide why football? You know, because baseball, I love. I'll freely admit, been covering North Carolina baseball for a while. I love baseball. I've got baseball, football, and then basketball as my rankings. Why'd you decide on the football aspect of it?
Yeah, it was honestly, like, it was a hard decision for me, because a few schools had me playing both, and then a few schools didn't. So kind of once I kind of committed to the cause and kind of saw where my calling was, which was football, I kind of knew I had to go head in and take full advantage of it. And even when I was at Florida State, Coach Taggart left, Coach Mike Martin Jr. wanted me to come out there, so I started training to play baseball again. And Coach Norvell was like, kind of play football this year and, you know, stick with me and learn the playbook, and then next year I'll be able to throw to you. But since I had a bunch of position changes going from outside to inside, I didn't really get into that. But, you know, I was ready to go.
What was the scouting report on Amari, the baseball player?
Don't if you throw him a curveball, you'll probably get him. Don't throw him fastballs.
Nobody can hit the curveball, man. Yeah, there's so many people sitting on the sideline. Not much different than everybody else there. Listen, when you got to Florida State, of course, accomplished athlete, like you mentioned, played both sports, but you get to Florida State, and Florida State was in a little bit of a transition there. You know, for years and years, Florida State was at the top of the heap, and then you get there. What was sort of, you know, wow, I'm in college. What's my welcome? What was your welcome to college moment, both off the field and on the field down there?
Welcome to college moment. Wow. I say welcome to college moment was probably just when I got there, got moved in, settled up there. And I was like, wow, you know, I'm really here. It's really happening. And I was ready to get to work. So, I mean, it was a pretty quick transition for me. And, being right there by home, it helped a lot for me in my transition. So, I mean, I didn't really have kind of a huge welcome to college moment, because a lot of the guys were pretty welcoming. The guys that hosted me was Cam Akers and Stanford Samuels and Cyrus Fagan that ended up transferring to NC State. But those guys helped me throughout the process. And, I mean, it was a great transition. But, I mean, because, I mean, on the field, I remember I had that mentality just like, you know, treat every practice like you're playing in a high school game. And I mean, it's helped me ever since then, because I mean, it's just, you know, you want to have that same mindset going in. And then when I start playing, it was just, all right, I've done this before. You know, if I can practice against these guys to a high level, I know I can compete, you know, against anybody in the country. And I feel like that's kind of how it is. Just having that high effort when you're practicing, high effort when you're playing, it translates. So
when was the earliest moment that you remember thinking that you could play on this level?
Honestly, I've always knew that I can, just because of the mentality I had and the work I put in. I remember I'd go to football practice in high school, and I'd come home and my dad would see me pushing a sled or something like that. So I just knew that it was, I just knew that it was always about the work. You know, it's never about who you're going against, all the external factors, but it's just about, can you outwork everybody in the country, and that you're not the only one working, and I always have that mentality that somebody is out here trying to outwork me. So just to be my best in every situation.
And then for the fans of college football, they see what happens on Saturdays. They don't really see what goes in behind the scenes and how college football does have these kind of highs and lows. What helps you in the difficult and challenging times to kind of remain focused on what you're there to do?
Definitely my faith. You know, before I wake up, I thank God I'm here in this position to be able to impact and be able to bless others around me. I feel like it's helped me a lot to be able to, you know, push others, even if you're having a hard workout and you encourage somebody else to, you know, finish, encourage somebody else to do better. You start getting a little bit of energy. You start picking up a little bit of steam. So I feel like, you know, having that faith in God, it gives me that peace to know that with whatever happens, you know, that I've gave it all my God, and that, you know, I've worked for it. So, I mean, whatever outcome that happens, like, I've worked for it, and that's the product I put on the field. So, I mean, that's kind of where I've gone with it, and throughout the years, that's kind of how I've been at peace with how to, you know, remain next play mentality.
You know, you mentioned you played outside, inside. You kind of positionless at Florida State, couldn't really figure out the perfect spot, and we'll talk more about it. One of the main reasons you came to North Carolina, but that faith and that belief that everything will be all right, how did that help you during those times where you were productive on the football field, but you never really got settled at one particular spot?
Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, like I said, like that faith. I knew God had a plan for me. I knew to trust the process, and I knew whatever to do to not stop working. Because, I mean, you'll see a lot of guys, they kind of don't see something going their way. You know, they'll start moping, start working less, you know, start doing everything to count them out, proving everybody else right. So what I do, you know, prove myself right, and just to keep working, just keep working at my craft. It's allowed me to be more versatile in defenses. It's allowed me to, you know, be more effective, be able to play inside backer, be able to, you know, set the front, be able to play at a high level. So I feel like I'm grateful for that learning curve and be able to, you know, learn different positions throughout the defense, because I feel like defense is defense, whether you're in the NFL, different teams or not, but I feel like everybody has the same concepts. So it's been great for me to have that, you know, have that stage where I can, you know, play it all. So it's been great for me.
When you, and I mentioned it earlier, you're at Florida State, they're sort of in a transition there. And we're talking to Amari Gaynor. Folks aren't watching this. He is sitting in Keenan Stadium. You can hear the bell tower in the background. Just the perfect Hills for Life interview here. But, Amari, when you're on a team that has traditionally been very good, and you grew up seeing them very good, and then the culture, you got culture issues and all, what were the issues at Florida State that maybe you saw that maybe contributed to them not being as good as they had been in the past? And then coming out of that, when you left Florida State, Norvell's got them sort of turned the corner. What have you seen there? A lot of folks think programs can just, like, go from very good to very bad to very good. It takes a lot of work on the inside. What did you see on the inside at Florida State during that transition?
You know, definitely just saw a lot of guys committed to one cause, you know. That's what it takes to be a team. That's what it takes to be a great team. Having that connection, having that communication, to be able to have that one bond with everybody, to be able to, you know, come together for a common goal. So you'll see a lot of guys, like, it was a literal brotherhood. You'll see all of us, you know, hanging out together outside of football, position groups going, getting lunch together. You know, it wasn't a debate of who got in. It was all right, you go get them, and I'm coming in right behind you, and it's not going to fall off. It's going to be the exact same way. And so having that whole brotherhood culture, and having great leaders as coaches around us, being able to, you know, push us to be the very best we could be, and also having players, people like me, kind of going around, making sure we have the right body language, making sure that everybody's committed to that same standard. Because, I mean, the standard doesn't change for anybody. The standard is always excellence. So to be able to provide that one standard for everybody and everybody to be on the same page, it just allowed for something special to happen.
Okay, so you're at Florida State. You can't really figure out it. You injured last year. How difficult was the decision to put your name in the transfer portal after being there and after being a legacy Florida State guy forever?
Yeah, it was honestly, it was real easy for me because it was just a business decision at that point. Because, I mean, everybody there, of course, I'll love them forever. I mean, it will have a connection with them. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's a business decision. And, it's a business decision, you know. It's you got to do what you got to do. I got to do what's best for my family and what's best for myself. And I feel like I'm a playmaker, and I need to be on the field. So that's kind of one of the main reasons.
I was watching your highlights before you got on, and one of the plays that I wanted to talk about was, I think it was against Syracuse, where you came off the edge and had the strip sack. Mm-hmm. We've seen the transition in rushing technique where players, old school, they were looking to take quarterbacks' heads off, but now you have this new technique of where you're going for the arm to strip the ball, get your offense back on the field. What's going through your head as you rush with your technique?
Honestly, everything when you rush and you kind of get by that quarterback, it kind of turns into slow motion. So for me, I kind of want to wrap and swat. So, I mean, we worked it in practice and feel like just made the most of my opportunities when I was out there. So I try to make plays and big time plays. So being able to be out there and I wish we would have got it back, but we didn't get it back. But being able to put the ball on the ground, it's great. I mean, it prevents targeting, and you know, it's the next thing, like you said, is to get the ball out and cause a takeaway.
And then also in the highlights, I saw you seemed pretty consistent with your celebration after making plays. It looked something like this a little.
Yeah.
What goes into that, and what's the meaning behind that, and Do you kind of pre-plan what you're going to do before you make a play?
Honestly, like, I did it one practice, and it kind of stuck. And so after the first time I'll make a big play, I'll kind of do that celebration. And then after that, it'll kind of just flow naturally. But sometimes I'm just too hyped to even do anything. So you'll kind of just see me just kind of, like, screaming some random craziness. But, you know, it's you're always excited to make a play. I mean, the stands go quiet and you just want to make it, just has you want to make another one. So it's a crazy time. And can't wait to do that in Keenan.
I was going to say, I could see the scene right now. Carolina's first home game, you make the play and then you do the celebration. And then everybody who listens to this podcast also doing that celebration with you.
Yes, sir. Everybody doing it.
Well, you're sitting in the place that you will soon play. When you were in the portal and you decided to come to North Carolina, I know you've talked about it a little bit when we talked to you back when you and I guess eight other transfers were introduced to us in January. I guess Antavis Lane just came this week. But why did you choose North Carolina? What stood out for North Carolina? I mean, let's be honest. North Carolina's defense has had a lot of talent but has not had a lot of success over the last couple of years. When you were in the process of being recruited, what made you decide that, hey, Chapel Hill is the place where I'm going to be? Chapel Hill is where I can make that business decision pay off.
Yeah, well, you know, like Coach Chizik was saying, you know, you want to go somewhere where you're going to win. So, I mean, that was kind of a main factor for me. I was able to watch the bowl game, watch the bowl practice. It was a pretty intense bowl practice. Everybody seemed locked in. And I just heard a lot of guys were coming back. And that's kind of culture that I wanted to be a part of. A lot of guys coming back and kind of on the same page and on the same call to, you know, win a national championship. So, I mean, that's what I wanted to be a part of and be able to contribute to. So, and then, I mean, the colors are nice and the people are nice. Coach Mack Brown, Coach Chizik, everybody around here, you know, they have a great resume. So, to be around great guys, and that'll be able to push me to be my best. That was one of the big decisions that I've probably made in my life, and probably one of the best decisions that I've made being here over the spring and so far.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
So when you leave Florida State, you're obviously a leader there. You've played a ton of snaps, got all those tackles, plenty of games, and plenty of years there. How do you bring into Chapel Hill being a new guy, but being an old guy as well? How do you translate that? What is your leadership style since you've been in Chapel Hill?
Yeah, so, I mean, my leadership style, it's been pretty much the same. You know, I start by leading by example. So, I mean, if guys see you working, guys see you running on and off the field, guys see you, you know, holding yourself to a certain standard, they'll start holding themselves to a standard, and then I can start, you know, speaking out and, you know, holding a team to the same standard. So, for me, it was making sure that, you know, I show the guys that I'm here to work and that I'm not here looking for a handout and that I'm here to work and I'm here. So that was the main thing. I didn't come here demanding stuff. Kind of was like, you know, I wasn't like, this is what we did here, so we're doing, no, I wasn't like that. I was kind of just, you know, seeing what they did, kind of observing my first week working. And then after that, kind of implementing, you know, some stuff that I've seen that's worked and, you know, kind of, you know, mentioned it to some of the leaders that, you know, something that we should establish here.
One of the leaders of the Carolina defense, Cedric Gray, 33. You were number 33 at Florida State. You're number three now. What went into that choice to get three? And were you a little upset that you couldn't carry 33? Was that something that was kind of personal for you?
Nah, I mean, I already knew. I knew. I did my research on all the schools I was kind of thinking about and to see if 33 was available. So that's why when I took my pictures here, I took them in three. And my dad was number three at Florida State when he played wide receiver. But I got 33 because I want to be double my dad. So that's why I was always 33. So that was the reason behind that.
And so did you ask Sed, say, let me get that 33?
No, nah, I already knew he wasn't going for that. And the three look good on me. So, you know, I definitely model my game after Derwin James too. And he went back to three too, so I don't feel as bad. So
I was gonna say it would have to be like an NFL situation where like you give him an NIL bag to get the number, and I don't think a number is worth that.
Exactly.
But I also wanted to ask you about just getting your thoughts on a home game versus a road game. Which one do you prefer? Do you like having everybody in the stadium backing you, or do you like going to another building and kind of having the opportunity to silence a crowd more?
Honestly, when I kind of think about it, like, you know, a lot of people kind of get involved in kind of home or away and kind of the circumstances around them. But I honestly feel like the circumstance honestly doesn't matter, because once you're on that field, it's the team and the team you're going against. So I like home games, of course. I feel like everybody like home games, but I feel like away games is just the same, because I feel like I have that same mentality to dominate and to I mean, like, you can't have a circumstance, you can't have it to change how you play. I feel like just like the Miami Heat and the Nuggets, like if the Heat came in there saying, oh, we're not going to win because the altitude, all this, they would have got swept first quarter. So just to have that, I feel like to have that mental toughness and to be locked in to what you got to do what when you got to do it, the circumstance shouldn't define you, and you should be fine. So honestly, it's either way. To all the South Carolina fans tuning in, but I do like home games though.
Yeah, you'll have that taste of that neutral feel. We'll see how neutral it is in Charlotte on Labor Day weekend.
Exactly.
Amari, when you start looking around and you look at North Carolina, Florida State's been pretty good against North Carolina lately. Mack Brown cannot seem to beat his former team. What was the perception you had? And be as honest as you want to. That's what we're about. We're about honesty here. Be as honest. The perception you had of North Carolina, specifically North Carolina football, before you got here, when you were a member of Florida State, what were the thoughts there ahead of when you decided to come to Chapel Hill?
Like as a school?
As a school, as a team, whatever. Whatever you thought about them.
Definitely. I knew I was a smart, prestigious school. And obviously it's about any school that I play. I just knew that I was going to dominate any game that I play in. So it honestly doesn't matter. Like I said, it doesn't matter who was in front of me, that I knew kind of that I was going to dominate. So honestly, like I didn't really have a bad perception on North Carolina. I just knew it was a smart, prestigious school. And I honestly, when I got here, I see it's a bunch of normal guys and guys that are ready to work. So it was great. But I definitely thought it was going to be kind of like a lot of like really smart guys and, you know, guys that had like everybody wearing glasses, you know what I mean?
Like, come on, man. The glasses, you got to be able to see.
I wear contacts. Ain't nothing wrong with glasses.
I'm just messing with you, man. When you get old, you got to wear glasses on top of contacts. Your first impression of Mack Brown. Tell us, everybody thinks Mack Brown is such this nice fella and he's, you know, he's older and he's calm. What was your first impression of Coach Brown when you got to Chapel Hill?
Yeah, Coach Mack Brown, he's a family guy. So, like, he made everybody feel like family, everybody feel welcome. He's a great guy. He wants to make sure his players are happy. He wants to make sure everybody in the facility is happy. And he also wants to make sure everybody's holding the standard and, you know, doing the best that they can. So, I mean, he's a great coach and a great mentor to look up to. And definitely one of the reasons why I came here. I mean, his approach to, you know, help me get better and help me to, you know, remain vigilant in the process and what I've been doing. And he respects the people that he's around. And he knows what it takes to win. And so, I mean, that's just the people I want to be around. And he's a great legacy. And I honestly didn't even know he went to Florida State and wore number 33 till he told me. And I was like, whoa, I did not know that. But yeah, that was just kind of an added benefit, both being alumni.
Yeah, that was the question we were about to go to. Is like, did you know Mack played there and carried your number? So yeah, it is a small world for sure. So looking at North Carolina, and I want to turn it, and we're gonna have some fun questions here before we let you get out of here. But a lot of people expect North Carolina's defense to be better, but a lot of people want to see it be better before they start believing it. Just sort of speak to what you've seen so far since you've been here. You got here in January, so you've been 5-6 months. What have you seen pulling on your Florida State experience, right, which you had some pretty good teams down there or later in your career, but what is this North Carolina defense going to look like this year that may surprise some folks?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of guys are hungry. You know, everybody on the team's hungry, offense and defense. So, I mean, I see a lot of guys is, you know, ready to get to work and ready to, like you said, prove people wrong, prove us right. So, I mean, I've seen the pass rushers have been looking great. You know, communication's been good since I've been here. And you know, a lot of guys, they're already, you know, they're already in tune to the system. They know the system. They know, you know, it's a lot of guys second, third year in the system. So, you see a lot of guys, you know, ready to go, ready to get to work and more advanced than we were last year. Coach Chizik always says, you know, this group looks a lot better than we were last year. I think we're ready. We just got to keep going. We just got to keep fighting, keep crawling, keep getting that inch. So, I mean, you know, I've seen a lot of guys, you know, grow exponentially, including myself, you know, weight wise, speed wise. The strength coaches are great here. So they're getting us all ready and geared up. And we've been meeting a lot and getting tuned up. So, I mean, I'm expecting a hard nosed, you know, defense, and I'm not really sure what happened last year, but you know, it's looking good. And I mean, anytime you can make plays against our offense, cause we have a great offense here, then I feel like it will carry over to the games. So I'm very confident in our group.
Yeah, the fans know, I think, that they have somebody like Drake May. So if the defense can kind of raise up to that level, you can be a team that is competing for an ACC championship. And speaking of the ACC championship, the conference got rid of the two divisions this year where they're just taking the two best teams. Is there a part of you that is hoping that you guys get to the game and the team across from you is Florida State?
It don't matter. It doesn't matter.
As long as you guys are there.
Yeah, yeah. Like Coach Mack say, we just got to win all our games. That's it. That's all we focused on. Just winning all of our games and being in that position to be there and being able to, in that position to hoist a trophy. I feel like that's just a step to get to the next level. So, that's not the end goal of the ACC championship. That's a step to get to the next prize.
And then you played Carolina two of the past three years.
Twice.
What was the game plan going against the offense, and was there anything that you saw that you've been able to kind of help the offense with?
I cannot remember that. But I do remember.
They're not tipping anything, or they're not giving anything away.
Nah. I remember Josh catching a nice little post. That's the only thing I remember from that game. And Sam kept taking off running. That's all I can't remember. So I mean, it was a great game. I mean, I remember the first time I played. It kind of got off to a good start, and it just took a lot of vigilance for North Carolina to start coming back. And it was a great close game. And Michael Carter from the 850. So I would always talk to Michael Carter, and he taught me while he was on the Jets, and he's a big fan of me. I'm a big fan of him, and I've always had love for North Carolina. Hosted Eugene Asante when I was at Florida State, so hosted Sam too. So I mean, it's been family, coming through here and kind of having that little pipeline.
You mentioned that when you were coming out of high school and growing up, that if you were going to go to school in Florida, it was only going to be Florida State. And since Mack Brown has come back to UNC, Carolina has won four straight games against Miami, going for a fifth this year. How much do you hate Miami?
I ain't gonna lie, that's still my rivalry. That's still my rivalry. anytime you play that school in the green and orange, you gotta put on a performance. So,
When we were playing them the 2015 season, our offense was like a historic offense.
I remember that.
50 plus points a game. And we knew we were going to beat them so bad that in like our pregame meetings, instead of going over like a game plan for a bit, we were like, hey, if you score a touchdown, throw the U up, throw it down.
Sam definitely did that on the little reverse. I remember that. Yeah, him and Javonte Williams.
Yeah, that was a wrecking down there a couple of years ago, I guess in 20 down in Miami with Sam and Javonte and Michael Carter. Amari, before we let you get out of here, and we've been talking to Amari Gaynor, many thanks to everybody at Heels for Life. What do you guys do for fun? I mean, I know football players work all the time, and you do, but when it's time to not disconnect from football, what's Amari Gaynor doing? Being an old, experienced college guy, what's he doing in Chapel Hill?
In Chapel Hill, I'll get on the game some because I try to find some hobbies. At first, I honestly would not have an answer for you other than watch film and work out. But I recently started to have a few hobbies, playing a game a little bit with the guys, teammates. And then I'm big into NFTs and Web3 and stuff like that. So I'll kind of do my research on what's coming out next and the next NFT collection. And I like doing stuff like that.
We need your help with NFTs.
All right.
Yeah, I need to help understand. Y'all need to help me understand that stuff. What games you guys play?
I kind of play. I'm not really into like all the Call of Duty and stuff like that. I feel like that stuff kind of scars me a little bit. So I'll play something kind of lighter, like Fortnite or something like that, or Madden. Something.
Interesting. Yeah, that Call of Duty stuff. Once all them little teenagers get on there and they start talking smack. It's like, I can't take it anymore.
I'll like walk outside and I'll be like, God, stuff.
It's going to be a lot more. This is not a game, kid.
Yeah. You know? Especially on the little virtual reality, little web. It's definitely more intense, too.
I wanted to ask if you could travel anywhere in the world, where would you go and why?
I would say probably Dubai, because I've heard that they're really they're above the bar in innovation and entrepreneurship. So I would definitely move to Dubai. Stuff's cheaper, and you know, it's better to, you know, for entrepreneurs to be able to go out and sell. It's great scenery around it, so probably Dubai.
So obviously football is what you do, what you're concentrated on, but if football wasn't a thing, or down the road when football's not a thing, what's Amari Gaynor going to be doing?
I'll be a entrepreneur. I'll probably have a few businesses by that time. I have a nutrition company with my buddies. It's called Top Shelf Nutrition. And real estate, virtual real estate, and also physical real estate.
Interesting. So
I was going to say, Tommy, freshen up your resume. Amari's got some good years left playing football. So by the time he's done and ready to hang it up, you freshen up that resume and maybe he'll hire you.
Really? Y'all talking about stuff I don't even know what you're talking about, like virtual real estate.
You got some time to learn. He's got a long career ahead of him.
Well, Amari, it's always fun to talk to you guys. It's especially fun to talk to you being a you know, a different path to where you are at North Carolina. And certainly we appreciate you taking time. Beautiful backdrop. You got to get you got other guys. We got some more of y'all to talk to. You need to get them to get Keenan Stadium in the background.
Yes, sir.
But anything, let's close out the season. What does Amari Gaynor think that this North Carolina season looks like this year? And you can't say win every game or whatever. Give us some detailed breakdown on what fans can expect, not just from the defense, but from the offense of North Carolina football in 2023, starting with that South Carolina game.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I mean, that's, you know, that's the goal, to win every game. So, I mean, of course, everybody's going to say that. And, of course, that's what I believe. I'm not just saying that. But I feel like, you know, people are going to come out, you know, with their head on fire. I mean, that's the only way to come out with a vengeance. Because, I mean, we all remember, I watched the last time we played South Carolina. And, you know, we still got that bad taste in our mouth. So, coming out playing like our hair on fire every game, not even just the first one. The first was the most important because it's the first one. But every game playing like it's your last game. And I mean, with it being my last season, a lot of guys last season coming out season, I mean, you know, you want to get drafted, you want to do this, you got to have accolades, you know, team success comes, I mean, player success comes with team success. So, I mean, the better we are, the, you know, the better we all look. So that's the goal, to win all of our games, you know, to win the conference, to win, you know, to make the playoffs. I've never been to the playoffs, and I want to see what that's like. So, that's the goal. That's the goal.
That is Amari Gaynor. That's Taylor Viplis. Many thanks to Heels for Life, of course, North Carolina's football collective. If you want to check it out, go to heels4life.org. Many levels of membership you can join there. It benefits guys like Amari. It benefits guys on the North Carolina football team. Take care of them. Amari, we always appreciate it, man. Looking forward to seeing you play and looking forward to talking down the road.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all. Go Heels.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.